Please sit for the first reading.
The first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 11, starting at verse 1, and it's on page 895 in the Bibles. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, and then everything was pulled up again to heaven. And at that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea and arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them, not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced. And they praise God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. From John's Gospel 13, verse 31. During supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Heavenly Father, give us clear understanding of your word today, that we may obey it and live it. For Jesus' sake, amen. James Ryle, a Christian teacher and preacher, tells this story against himself. He says he was staying in a neighboring city before leading a training seminar. He was just settling down to sleep when he sensed that God wanted to tell him something. He asked the Lord what it was and saw a picture of a road sign with a little pink pig standing in the grass beside it. He asked the Lord what this meant, and when no answer was immediately forthcoming, began to speculate. I thought perhaps the Lord was trying to tell me there would be demons in the meeting tomorrow and I was to cast them into pigs, Matthew 8:31. Or perhaps the people would be like pigs that went back to wallow in the mud after they were cleansed, 2 Peter 2. Or maybe I shouldn't even teach because it would be like casting my pearls before swine, Matthew 7. I even thought he might be telling me not to look at any pretty girls who were there because they'd be like, I even thought he might be telling me not to look at any pretty girls who were there because they would be like a gold ring in a pig's nose, Proverbs 11. But I could not come up with anything that made sense out of this strange vision. In the end, he again asked God what he was trying to say to him, and the Lord answered, James, did you read the road sign? Lord, I'm sorry, he replied. I was so taken by the pig, I didn't even look at the sign. What did it say? When the Lord showed him the picture again, on the sign was written, don't be distracted. And the Lord spoke to him again. I'm speaking to my people in road signs all the time, but they're so distracted by the little pigs that they seldom notice what I'm saying. Fortunately, Peter, when he had this roadside sign vision of the cloth coming down from heaven, wasn't distracted by any little pigs, and he took note of what the message was saying. I wonder if the road sign then was saying, all change. It's obviously a very important vision, this, because Luke, in Acts of the Apostles, records it twice. It's recorded in the previous chapter, chapter 10, when the event took place, and then it's recorded again in this chapter when Peter is giving an account of it when he's been criticized for going to eat with Gentiles. So let's just look first of all at what was happening when this event occurred. Peter was in Joppa, and he went up to the roof to pray. He was staying with Simon the tanner. Now, that in itself was a strange thing for any Jew to go and stay with a tanner. And Luke is lovely, where he records just little things that seeming, you know, not very important, but they have quite a significant meaning. And he said, Simon the tanner lived by the sea. As a tanner, he wouldn't have been able to live amongst the Jews because he would have been unclean, because he was dealing with dead animals as a tanner of leather. So Peter was staying with him, which was strange in itself, and he went up to pray, and while he was praying, he had this vision of the sheet coming down three times from heaven, and in it he saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles and birds of the air, all unclean things to a Jew. And God said to him, get up and eat. And Peter said, no, I've never eaten anything profane or unclean. And this happened three times. So God obviously wanted him to get the message. It happened three times. And at the very moment When it finished, people arrived at the house asking for Peter. They had come from Cornelius, a Gentile, God-fearing man from Caesarea, and he had sent messengers to go and get Peter to come and help them understand what the word of God meant for them. And in verse 12, we're told, the Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. No hesitation. Peter got up and he went. And he records to us, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And God had given the same gift to Gentiles, which was a new beginning. It was all change for the early church. Peter's conclusion, then if God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I to hinder God? And when he was telling the people in Jerusalem what had happened and explaining this to them, they then said, when they heard this, they were silenced and they praised God, saying, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. So it seemed all hunky-dory. And they were happy with Peter's explanation. But that question of Gentiles receiving the Holy Spirit, being able to join the church, went on for quite a long time, tied up with the idea that to be a Jew, you had to be circumcised. And so for a long time, the early Christians wanted to, Jewish Christians wanted to circumcise the Gentiles coming in so that they could be true Jews as following the Messiah. And this rumbled on for quite a long time, this argument and disagreement that they were having. So what did this message say to the early church? And it's useful to look at what those apostles did, first of all, in getting out the message that they had received from Christ. And they usually went, when they went to a town or a city, they went to the synagogue, first of all, to speak to Jews. And therefore, most of the very early church would have been made up of Jewish people. And so for quite a long time, Christianity seemed to be a reformed kind of Judaism. People, Jews, who had believed that Jesus was the Messiah and accepted him, but were Jews from birth. It wasn't seen as it is now, as separate and a successor to the Jewish faith. God was throwing open all the doors to his kingdom and saying, anybody is welcome to come in. It was all change. What did it mean for the devout Jews who were hearing this message? It meant unlearning habits and traditions of a lifetime that they had learned from the cradle and believed. They believed they were the chosen few, God's own people. And suddenly, here are lots of other people being welcomed in, and Israel becoming melting into a global organization. It was all change. So it was tough for them. It was very tough. But thank God they were tough enough, because we wouldn't be here today if they hadn't and taken on board that message from God. So what might the sign be saying to us today? Well, it's not saying quite the same message, because I don't think anybody here would want to say, oh, the gospel of Christ is only for certain people, and we've got to exclude some. I think we'd all be happy here today to say, no, the doors are open wide. So that's not the message for us today. I'm sure we're all happy with that. But does this reading say something to us today about how we treat each other? This is what I began to wonder as I was looking at this week. What are the things in St. John's at the moment that we're talking about and which may find disagreements amongst us? Well, we're looking for a new vicar. And if I asked every one of you today what you were looking for or wanted in a new vicar, we'd probably get about 50 or 60 different answers. But we've only got one new vicar. So that is a difficulty. We have different services. We've got another service going on in the hall today because we all like different things. And these could be areas of division if we let them. I was just looking today, recently, about other things that are changing. And David and I pray regularly for CMS, the Church Mission Society. And it's very exciting, but very challenging to hear some of the new ways that people are doing mission. The Prince of Wales paid a visit to mission partners and friends in Southall in West London. He spent time at the language school run by St. John's Southall, where CMS member and former mission partner Chris Goldsmith volunteers. He got to meet the Prince, as did the other mission partners, Dave Booklis and Kayleen and Kim Kongsai, who explains their work in the community with Arosha, the Christian creation care charity, caring for our world and making it a better place for us to live in. Is that missionary work? Mission partner Anne Marie Wilson has a vision of the world where every girl and woman is safe, healthy, and lives free from FGM, female genital mutilation. The charity she leads, 28 Too Many, has produced 10 country reports so far. These profiles raise awareness of the FGM situation in countries where it's still practiced. The latest report is on Burkina Faso, where FGM has rates as high as 76% of women. Is this missionary work? It's all change in our world today, and that can be a very exciting thing, or it can be a daunting thing if we allow ourselves to just get a bit stuck. What did Peter say when he saw the sign saying all change? He talked. He was happy to give an account of what he had experienced with this sign from God. But he also listened. He listened to those who didn't agree with him. And above all, they managed to go on loving each other. We've got things in our worldwide church today that could split the church. The question of gay marriage, of the ordination of women bishops. And this threatens our church. But we have to be very careful that it doesn't split us. We may have to agree to disagree, but let's do it in love and mutual respect. That's one of the things that seems to go when we disagree, is that respect for one another. I think we're pretty good at St. John's, but it's still a temptation. So we need to be very careful to stay united in the things we do agree on, which were probably the biggest things, the articles of our faith, what we stand for, what we believe. We probably all agree on those. And they're the most important. Let's hang on to those and be united. Let's find ways of worshipping together so that we don't only worship separately, so that we can continue to be God's family together. When David and I were first married, we went straight to his second curacy and at St. Paul's Onslow Square. And it hadn't been many years before we went there in the 60s that the 11 o'clock service was for the lords and ladies of the square and the 6:30 service was for the servants. Thank God that's gone and we don't have anything like that anymore. But let's be very cautious that we don't let other barriers come up. And I finish with words from Jesus in our gospel reading today. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. And if we manage to do that, then the change won't be scary, because we'll be doing it together in love. And Jesus' last word in this passage, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Amen.